you pray with me? Once again, I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I thought I would bring a real preacher up here this morning, so let me begin this with the words of Paul. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. I would remind you, says the apostle. I would remind you. I was struck by that when I went back through this text this time around. I would remind you. Think about what that means. It means that he's not telling these Corinthian people something new. He's reminding them. He's telling them something that they already know. And that's what I'm doing here today, too. Because you already know what I'm going to tell you. But that doesn't mean you can leave. And I come to remind you of something that you already know. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I knew you knew that. Let me ask you this. Does this announcement still, 2 weeks after Easter, have the power to stun? Does it still have the power to move your heart? Does it still have the power to raise joy up in your spirit, no matter how stricken it may be by the circumstances you find yourself in? If so, say amen. Let's try that.
Amen.
Good. We're in this old-time thing. It's all good. Let me ask you this. Do we still realize exactly how radical, how singular, how breathtaking this message is, that he is risen? It is a unique message. We are the only people that can proclaim that, those of us who follow Jesus Christ. And Paul sets that truth out clearly for the Colossians. He says this, Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. Now, we've talked about this before, but I almost can't say this enough. It's its own sermon, right? This means that in all of history, before Christ, no human being ever came back to life from the dead. No human being ever rose again from the grave. Christ is the firstborn. That sort of thing simply doesn't happen, hasn't happened. Many found this hard to swallow. And we know we live in a secular culture. Many people still do. They look at you and go, what are you, like you're riding a llama or something, right? What is this? You believe this guy rose from the dead, this Christ guy? It doesn't make sense. It's not rational. We hear that all the time. And as if anticipating this, Paul musters his evidence. Listen to him again in his letter to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. What this means, if you think about it, is that the old world came to an end on a spring morning in Jerusalem, and a new one was born when a man got up off of a cold stone slab and walked out of a tomb. This means that the old ways and means that ruled the world of men, the ways of sin and death, are now valueless in the new kingdom of God manifest in the risen Jesus Christ and the church that follows him. And this means that somebody better break the news to the world. I think you know who I have in mind. I wonder how many folks realize that. Realize that the world had ended as we gathered and sang, "Christ the Lord is risen today," 2 weeks ago. We were celebrating the end of the world. The end of the old world, at least. This makes Christianity such an exciting adventure into uncharted territory. Do you get that? Do you get how blessed we are to be able to have this news, to be able to share it? This is revolutionary. This makes you and me world builders. Try that on for size. As the band REM sang in the mid-90s, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." The risen Christ steps boldly and bodily into this new world and invites us to take part in church, this new thing that he's doing, this new kingdom that he's building. And Christianity, his cross-bound community, is an invitation to become resident aliens, as it were, dwelling amidst the ruins of the old world. For that's what we're doing. Resident aliens dwelling amidst the ruins of the old world. Paul tells the Ephesians, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God." And he reassures the Philippians, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ." And so we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." So what does this resurrection world look like? Well, you heard Bob tell you just a few minutes ago. Let me just read it to you again, because it's pretty hard to hear this enough. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Notice he doesn't say, "Blessed are you if people revile you and persecute you for my name's sake." He says, "When people do that." That's what we're faced with. Welcome to the new world. I'd be the first to admit that such statements as these, well, they're somewhere between naive and absurd in the context of that old world, that one that we're talking about, that world that crumbled away in the wake of the empty cross and the empty tomb. But as I've been saying, we don't live there anymore. The rules in this world that you and I now are blessed to live in are different. These are what they are. This is our constitution, if you will. Christ has risen. The world has been changed. The kingdom of God is here now. Therefore, says Paul elsewhere in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." We have only to look at the tense of the verbs in the Beatitudes to see the truth of this. Christ doesn't say, blessed will be the poor in spirit. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He doesn't say, blessed will be the meek. He said, blessed are the meek. He's talking about a reality already in place. He doesn't say, blessed will be those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He said, blessed are those. The blessing is here now because we are blessed to live in the new world. He's not looking forward to something to be realized in the future. He's looking back to something that has already come into being. An alternative reality, if you will. And a larger and a better one at that. These are not future promises, but recognition of how things now are, my friends. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. The Beatitudes are a description of how God is, and now that Christ has done his redeeming work, how his kingdom is as well. That's the world we now are blessed to live in. I love this poem by G.K. Chesterton. I don't know how many of you know him. Great, great man of faith, great writer. It's called Easter's Dawn, and it's worth reading again. I've shared this with you before. On the third day, the friends of Christ, coming at daybreak, found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. In varying ways, they realized the new wonder. But even they hardly realized that the world had died in the night. What they were looking at was the first day of a new creation, with a new heaven and a new earth. And in a semblance of the gardener, God walked again in the garden, in the cool, not of the evening, but of the dawn. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. By the world's accounting, it had defeated Jesus on that cross. We see that when we read the text. We hear that celebration going on around him. Yet we gather to lift high that same cross, as a testament to the fact that we take God's account of reality more seriously than the world's. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So let us follow him through the ruins of the old world. And may our church become a capital city of his new kingdom as we become citizens of Christ's new world, a world in which those who trust fully in God's reign, where those who have lost what's most dear to them are comforted, where those who have found their identity hidden in Christ are heirs of the earth, where those who desperately crave the things that God desires are filled, where the merciful receive in kind, where those whose very souls are formed in Christ's image come to know God truly, where those who work for reconciliation are honored for their godliness, where the righteous are fully, finally at home, and where those persecuted in the name of Christ are set free by their master. Christ is risen. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Welcome, my friends. Welcome, my brothers and sisters, to the new world of the Lord Jesus Christ.